And now, a word from our sponsors.
One of the sections that people really struggle with the most on the DAT is the Perceptual Ability Test, or the PAT.
Luckily, we've partnered with PAT Crusher to help you guys succeed. These guys are legit. In fact, their service has the highest average reported score out of any service at 23, which is more than competitive for every school in the country.
Now, some of you may be taking the DAT for the second time and want to know what you should be doing differently. These guys have a 100% higher score guarantee, so if your score doesn't go up, you get a refund.
We believe in PAT Crusher so much that we're offering 50% off when you use the code PODCAST, all lowercase, on their website, patcrusher.com.
All right. What's up, everyone? This is your host, Marco.
And this is your host, Clayton.
And you're listening to
the Pre-Dental Podcast.
A good latency.
That's like our second or third episode in a row.
It is.
Butcher it, but it's hey, just, that's okay.
It's fine.
Clap in there, too. That's a bad clap.
Yeah.
All right. That's good. We're started here. So Clayton, what's been going on in life?
Not a whole lot, really. It's been filled with tests and a bunch of other not fun dental school related stuff. That's about it. What's been going on in your life? I feel like I haven't seen you in ages.
I know. I haven't been to your house in like 3 or 4 days.
I know.
This weekend.
I know. Emily's been so excited that she hasn't seen you.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I went to Austin this weekend. That was fun, except when I missed my flight yesterday.
Got stranded.
So bad.
He missed our practice, our very first fixed practice practical, and had to email the professor.
Yeah. Still
Dr.
Practical.
U teaching that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I emailed her, and she emailed me back, shame, shame.
Yep, that's Dr. U.
She's such a sweet soul.
Yeah.
I really wish it would have been someone else. That way they could have just roasted Eamon. But
she will. Don't worry. It's coming.
Again. Yeah, can't wait. So anyways, we have a special guest here today. He is a doctor, which is cool because that's what we're trying to be.
We are.
I've known our guest here today for a while. Wow, I was actually thinking about that the other day because I was on drumline in 8th grade. This guy was a senior and I was like, man, like
wow.
Guys are running the show here. It's crazy. So anyways, we have Dr. Jeffrey Kirst with us. So here he is on a screen because we're doing this on Zoom.
And Marco, you're kind of showing my age there by talking about how I was a senior whenever you were in 8th grade. But I think my hairline says I'm a few years older than that. So we'll just leave it at that.
All good. All good. So Clayton, if you want to kick things off here.
Absolutely. So Jeffrey, you are a general dentist. So what does general dentistry entail?
So general dentistry kind of entails whatever you want it to entail. I tend to do the procedures now. I've been out about a year and a half from school. So I mostly do the stuff that I like doing. Whenever I first got out of school, I tried to do everything and be everything. And I found out that root canals and certain type of extractions and other little procedures that are here and there that other people say you got to do and you have to do this in your practice to be successful. I didn't really like them, so I cut them out. And I started doing more and more of the stuff that I really enjoyed doing. So for the listeners out there who are worried that, oh my gosh, molar endo scares the heck out of me. Like, hey, guess how many I've done in practice? 0. And so far, I'm not starving. My stomach has gotten bigger, if anything, since graduating from dental school. So you can still do just fine without it.
Yeah, that's good
awesome.
To hear. And I think that's a cool thing about general dentistry and what everybody continues to tell us in dental school. Like with general dentistry, you can go out and do kind of whatever you want. Like you can just pick and choose like you were talking about. So I think that's the cool thing with general.
Yeah, so I started out after graduating from LSU in 2019, traveling to different roles, to kind of operating in different practices and things like that too, and covering for dentists. They got sick, hurt, had a baby, that kind of stuff. I know we can talk about that more in a little bit. But now, as of yesterday, started my own practice, and we're opening up shop here in Shreveport. So right now, general dentistry for me entails trying to operate everything legally in a business in the state of Louisiana. Easier said than done. making sure that I have my employees there and trained and doing the stuff that I want them to do and kind of teaching them the good habits and how to do lab work and all the stuff that I thought I'd never have to do again. So half of my day-to-day was included taking impressions or making impressions. Sorry, cross department. Pouring up models and things like that and just kind of getting them up to speed with how I like things done and how to make temporaries, you know, all the fun stuff you guys are doing right now in second year fix that I thought, oh, I'll never have to do this again. Well, here we are.
Don't tell us that. Yeah, kind of just casting it off.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun on this side. Yeah, no pun intended casting, right?
So how has that been opening up your own practice? I mean, congratulations on that. I mean, you also got married recently. Like, life is moving pretty quick on your end.
Yeah, you know, we tried to squeeze as many life events as we could into about 45 days. Between moving to a new state, my now wife's car broke down, so we had to find her a new car, which I've never bought a car before, which that was like the smallest thing of all the things that we did. She finished up her orthodontic residency, moved into a new house here in Louisiana, started a practice. Effectively opened up shop yesterday. We'd seen a couple emergencies here and there, and I would go in and just try to get the building all set up and running. But I joined a practice up here in Shreveport, and it's just, you know, yesterday we saw five patients, which I thought was just awesome. I had woke up and there were two patients on the schedule, and I'm thinking, all right, here we go. It's going to be a really slow month. And then five people showed up, and you know, we've got 10 people on the schedule for tomorrow. So it's crazy how fast things are kind of growing here. And then another five people on the schedule on Thursday, which, you know, the average dental office, you've been out here for 20 years and you see I've got five people on the schedule, you're thinking, what am I doing wrong? And me looking at five patients, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, thank God, I must be doing something right. So it's kind of a weird switch from whenever I work for other folks hoping to be super, super busy. And now whenever you start your own thing, you're just trying to build it from scratch. You know, you just have to accept that busyness is going to come, but it's going to take some time.
Nice.
Different kind of
nice. So you have a partner as well though, correct?
I do, yes.
So what made you decide to go into a partnership versus opening a practice by yourself?
So it's kind of strange how we structured it, I guess. Like I'm operating my own practice within his practice itself. And so I'm renting the space from him, but we're doing our co-branding together. So I have my own employees. I pay my own lab bills and all lab fees, and I buy my own supplies and things like that. But we share the space that we're in, basically. It's similar to what a lot of doctor's offices and legal offices do. And so, to kind of answer your question, what made me want to join with this guy specifically was the fact that he's such a great mentor. He graduated from LSU in 1983. He knows a lot of the faculty that I really trusted and I got to know very well while I was in school. And our head of the Frost Department actually is the one who set me up with him 3 years ago to go shadow him. So before I ever knew I'd be marrying a girl from this city and moving back to this city, I was already shadowing and kind of working alongside a guy who would end up being a mentor to me for the next couple of years. And then, you know, call it divine intervention or whatever you want. But now I'm living in this city and it's my wife's hometown. And here I am working with the guy that I've looked up to for years. So I'd say in a nutshell, the mentorship that he provides as well as the quality of dentistry he provides are both top notch.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really awesome how like everything works out. It's kind of weird sometimes how you never see yourself moving back to a specific place or anything like that, and then all of a sudden you're opening a practice there.
All right, I know. And now it's like, okay, we're here forever.
Yeah, I will never move again. Yeah, exactly. So what has been the hardest thing about opening up the practice?
I don't know if you guys read the news or anything like that, but apparently there's a pandemic going on. And people aren't exactly enthralled to be visiting the dentist right now. So trying to get folks to kind of have that trust and feel safe at a dentist is hard enough whenever they've been going there for 20 years during a pandemic. But whenever they've never met you, they've never seen your face, and you have to wear a mask the whole time, and so do they. So they still won't see your face. It's kind of hard to build trust with people the first time you meet them. And kind of build that patient flow. But I've found that getting out into the community, working with different organizations, Rotary Club, there's a group here called Common Ground that works at the Northwest Louisiana Food Bank, has been a fantastic way to get to know people in a COVID safe and friendly way, while still making the connections with folks and spending time with them. But really right now, the biggest commodity that I'm giving away is my time with people. And that was something that I didn't realize would be so important when it comes to marketing and getting to know folks.
Yeah, I can't imagine opening a practice and then opening a practice in a pandemic. So, I mean, that's pretty impressive. I mean, it's awesome that you're actually able to see patients and that patients are coming into a new dentist. So, especially during a pandemic. So, that's awesome.
Keeps life entertaining.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. And I don't know, you got a good work ethic, and to branch off of that, that was pretty apparent in dental school because of your involvement with ASDA. So our next question would be, what exactly did you do with ASDA, and how did that shape where you are now?
So with ASDA, I served as our chapter's, in our chapter's various leadership roles, basically, the first year representative, and then second year, basically, I kind of rolled into the second year representative role and then vice president and president in a local chapter. And then I also tried to get involved on a national level. Sorry, my wife's sneaking in the door right now. get involved on the national level and work as a trustee for a little while, as well as later on becoming the national vice president of ASDA. And I'd say the experience that I got in that organization has been the only reason why I could confidently open up a practice, let alone in a pandemic, because the information that was provided to me through the lunch and learns and through the most basic things that you don't really think about or you kind of take for granted while you're in school. I mean, that information has been everything I've used. I would go back and I'm opening up notes from 2015 that I heard at a lecture from somebody that came to speak to us about, you know, what it's like to have a dental accountant. And hiring a dental CPA was the best decision I've ever made when it comes to finance. And so, you know, it's taking back the information like that to make sure that everything I can do is be successful, but also the experience and being able to help run an organization of that size and that magnitude, getting to learn from somebody like Nancy Honeycutt, who's the executive director of the American Student Dental Association. I mean, that is invaluable. Working on boards and with these large nonprofits and with other dental associations, I mean, the experience has given me the confidence to know that I can do this stuff and that I can do it well, because we did it well whenever I was a leader in that organization. And man, you talk about an incredible experience. Like, anytime you can get involved with ASDA on whatever level that you can, I highly recommend it. If you're trying to specialize and you think, I just can't do it, I don't have the time, make the time. You probably do. I mean, maybe you miss out on two or three episodes of The Office this week, but I guarantee you that it's gonna reap benefits in the long term. And you know, the first referral source that I met in town is a guy who's already sent me a couple of patients, and he said, "I heard you were a trustee. So was I. You know, let me take care of you." And we just immediately bonded and connected, and you just be amazed how many people in this field recognize the role that you have with that organization, because it's just a great organization.
It's incredible.
Yeah, that's really awesome. So when you left LSU, you didn't go straight into private practice. You kind of alluded to it earlier, like you just kind of went around and filled in for people. So what all did that involve?
Yeah, so I worked for a year as a traveling dentist, or a rover dentist is the other word that was used to describe that, basically. So I contracted with a large corporation that represents a lot of different dental offices. And I was kind of a member benefit to those offices, so that they know that if something ever happened to their doctor unexpectedly, they'd have a guy like me who's already credentialed with their insurance plans, who's already familiar with how they operate things, that could step in and seamlessly take over the schedule for a few days while they were out, and then be able to come back and allow them to seamlessly return to practice, more importantly, and hopefully not leave a whole lot of messes behind for them to clean up. So I did that for a little over a year, 13 months, and I spent time in about 50 different offices, I believe, and kind of got to learn from other different dentists, different doctors, see how they do things, and got to learn the nuances of a staff and kind of pick up on the things that I am most picky about or not so picky about, and to be able to kind of teach staff certain ways to do things, work with a lot of different materials that are out there, and just see a multitude of business models. And that way I can kind of shape the exact business model that I want to have in my own practice. And that's kind of what led me to where I am today. Like a business residency, I guess you could say.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's awesome that you were able to have that experience. And I think that would be the coolest thing, just being able to see how different dentists do things. I think that would, especially if you're going to open your own practice, that way you kind of know, yeah, I want to do it this way versus this way because I saw this and this worked better. So I think that's an awesome thing that you were able to do.
Yeah. And whenever I hired my first dental assistant, a lot of that stuff came into play because I figured out the stuff that I wanted her to already know. And then the things that I'm okay with just teaching her. And right. So now we spent the entire day just doing lab work because I know she can operate at a really high level. And so she's already doing that with x-rays and with patient care and with special needs patients and with kids. So now the fun part for her begins where I get to kind of train her on the stuff that I really like from a dental perspective anyway.
Right. That's awesome.
That is really neat. That is really neat. So what was like a fun memory from your time as a Rover dentist? Like any crazy stories or something? And we'll end the podcast with another one, but I'm just curious right now.
I'd say the craziest thing, and there's some wild stuff that walked in the door. I was in a lot of rural areas. I was in a lot of big cities and stuff like that too. So I got a lot of fun interactions with patients. I got to work with some really fun doctors, especially one in Longview, Texas. He's one of my favorites, and he's a very colorful, very funny guy. But I'd say one of the strangest experiences for me, but also the most interesting, was I walked into work one day at a practice where I'd never been before, and one of the female dental assistants that was there said, "I can't handle this right now. I'm out of here." And she walked out. She left. And I hadn't introduced myself, hadn't said my name, hadn't said anything. I just walked in the door and I was kind of like, you know, I'm a nice guy if you get to know me. And she said, "No, I can't do this. I quit." And she walked right out. She never came back.
Oh my gosh.
I visited
really?
The practice again a year later and I was like, "Did y'all ever hear what happened to the girl that just left?" And they're like, "Nope, never heard from her again." So I must have been the straw that broke the camel's back, I guess. And she just peaced out the very moment I walked in. I'm telling you, I got in there at 8 o'clock and 8:01, she was out the door with her bag, like not having it, just not having it.
Kind of like half expecting that to occur this year in dental school, you know, like someone, which I mean, like we're not really at the school too much anymore, but you know, like at some point I could see that happening with someone in our class.
Oh yeah. I could, it might be me. I might just walk in, shave my head and then walk out. I don't know.
Hey, shaving the head's a good way to get over the stress. I'll tell you what, that was spring D1. That was one of the best decisions I made.
See, the difference is Clayton's got a wife to keep happy here in a couple of months. And so if you exactly. shave his head now, might be in trouble.
I will be divorced before I get married if that happens.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So I'm sure you have tons and tons of advice to give, dental students or young dentists or pre-dental students. So just like, what's the best advice that you have to give?
The best advice I have to give is to stay positive. You know, I'm definitely a big for someone who expects to walk in every day and have a good day. And if I walked in and I expected every day to have a bad day, I'd have a terrible day. And so I try to go in with the goal of just helping people and making sure that I did the right thing for people at that time, which I know can be tough to do sometimes in dental school because your faculty are sometimes directing what you're supposed to do. They might be telling you how to dictate a treatment plan a certain way just because they're more comfortable with it. And sometimes you get stuck between two faculty who are just telling you, you know, extract this tooth. Or no, do not extract this tooth. That's a terrible idea. And so you're kind of sitting here in the middle, you know, and you're toying with your own emotions and trying to decide, am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the wrong thing? But I would say as you go in to treat patients, approach each and every day with a good attitude, wake up, smile, you know, take a moment to just say thank you for all that has been handed to you and for the opportunity that you have before you to be in a dental program or to be applying to a dental program or to be a dentist. And remember to say thank you every single morning, regardless of what the circumstances are, because it could always be worse. You know, and the dentist that I'm taking over for was medically unable to complete his time as a dentist, or the guy that I'm taking his part of the practice that was there, because he developed a condition in his 30s that took away his ability to practice dentistry and to have a normal life. And so every single day I have that reminder because I get to see his name all over and I see his patients and things like that. But that for me is a very real reminder of how thankful should be to be in the position that I'm in. And so I would say if there's any one thing that I could tell you is like, just wake up, be happy, be thankful, because it could always be a heck of a lot worse. And anytime you're in dental school, anytime you are a dentist, your life is pretty stinking good.
Yeah, I think that's some solid advice. Even when tests and stuff are stressing us out, I mean,
you know, we could have it a lot worse than being in dental school. I mean, we could not be in dental school and be out on the streets and sleeping in a box or something like that. So I think it's an awesome privilege to be in dental school, and it's an awesome privilege to be a dentist. So I think that's some great advice.
Yeah, it really, really is a privilege. And, you know, even on our worst days, it's, you know, I see a lot of people post about this now that they're in medical school or dental school or things like that. And they're like, you know, like I prayed to be in this position. Like I wished to be in this position where I was in this program and getting to do this dream job. So I think that's incredible advice. This is probably my favorite part of the interviews that we've been doing, is just hearing the advice, because it's always so moving. And especially now in fall D2, it's always uplifting.
You guys are in the worst of it, if I remember dental school correctly. I tried to black out a lot of the memories of that with sleep or alcohol or something else.
But, you remember it. Yes, you remember it correctly.
The fall D2 is pretty brutal. And I know that I would call during these times mentors of mine, or I'd reach out to faculty, and I'd just say, does it ever get better? And everyone says, of course it does. Of course it gets better. But remember to be thankful for where you are right now, because it's going to make you appreciate everything that comes after this.
For sure, for sure. So going back to your dental school days, we can wrap things up here. What's like your craziest story from dental school?
Marco, other than you coming to our house and carving chalk till like 3 a.m. while playing Christmas music. sorry. Craziest story in dental school. Nothing illegal, I don't think, happened while we were in dental school. I'd say the flooding that we experienced in New Orleans on completely random days during totally normal rain showers. That probably led to some of the craziest stuff and craziest days in dental school. Like, you'd wake up in the middle of August and New Orleans would have had 2 inches of rain, and you step outside and your car is like 3 feet underwater, and you're just looking around like the monkey meme or whatever. It's like, what is happening? like what's going on right now? I'd say that's probably one of the craziest things. I feel like you guys have experienced GIFs and the things that come after GIFs, so you might know the real craziest things that have ever happened. But, I don't know if I want to disclose all those details on the air.
I can't remember all of the things that happened after the GIFs.
Yeah, I was about to say, gets pretty blurry there. I know it was a good time, but the fine details are lost in time.
And between the floods, I'd say the music playing in the dental school band, those are probably the wildest stories, because, man, a gross review every single year, that formal that's in December. I remember my first year, well, I don't remember much of it, but I do remember that it was an absolutely wild and crazy night, and we just played music all through the night, and it was an awesome show, basically, with our dental school band, and the open bar we definitely took advantage of, and
absolutely
had a great time.
Yeah, gross review that was probably one of my favorite memories from last year. I don't know what they're going to do this year for it. I'm sure they're going to push it back, but I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's tough, you know, and you guys are definitely struggling right now not being able to get together, but you know, those fun memories, they're still going to come. Like, you're still going to have them, even if they're a little bit different than what mine were, because mine were different than what the guys 5 years before me or what the folks 30 years ago had. The dentist every day that I work with reminds me of the crazy stuff they did in dental school. I'm like, yeah, we don't do that anymore. Like, that's illegal. Or like, you know, we don't do that stuff to patients anymore. That kind of stuff. Yeah, dentistry was different 40 years ago. But yeah, no, I'm excited for you guys. I'm glad you're getting in the second year. I'm glad you all survived first year. And I know that the next couple of years are going to be a lot of fun too. And of course, if there's ever mentorship that I can provide for you, the little bit of knowledge that I have, that's what people like me are here for. You know, we graduated, we went through it. We're the folks you should reach out to and say, hey, does this get better? And we'll tell you if it does or if it doesn't. But really just kind of give you guys some moral support and to show you, like, yeah, it's all going to be just fine.
Well, yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much for the advice, and thank you for agreeing to be on here and have us interview you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. So, Clayton, you got anything else?
I don't think so. I think that's it.
Dr. Kirst, you got anything else?
Man, that's it. You guys know where to find me if you need me.
Awesome. Sounds good. Well, this has been your host, Marco.
And this has been your host, Clayton.
And you've been listening to
the Pre-Dental Podcast.
You guys got it. All right, and that's a wrap. Let me hit the button here.